setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. So excited to have you with us as we dive in one caller at a time to figure out the question that we all ask. Many of us lay awake at night. Very few of us ever get the answer to this big question. Why am I here? What should I do with my life? Well, the good news is you have the answers. It's my job to pull them out of you. We're going to look at what you do best and what you love to do most. And in that beautiful intersection of using what you do best, talent, strengths, and skills, you use those to do the work that brings you great joy, work that you really enjoy engaging in, and it creates a result that means something very much to you. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where John is on the line. John, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. It's an honor to speak with you.
Well, the honor's all mine. How can I help?
My question, I'm looking for some advice on helping my wife. She has what I feel is a great job and is great at her job, but she hates it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of stuck. We need her income. We have a new baby.
How much is she making?
We've been married for a little over a year.
How much is she making?
About 53.
Mm-hmm. Okay, keep going.
She is a teacher for an online school. And she's a reading specialist, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
She gets great feedback from her students and from her parents, but it's frustrating. We're coming up at the end of summer, school's starting, and she's dreading it. She's talking about it today.
What does she dread?
Looking forward to going back.
What does she dread, specifically? What do you hear her gripe about the most?
I don't know if the right word is pointless, but maybe just not very productive administrative tasks. And she cares about the kids and she likes helping them. Parents don't seem to support it.
Right.
Excuse me.
Well, let me put it this way. What she loves are the kids and the actual reading instruction, because she knows how frustrating it is for the kids. She knows what it does for their self-esteem when she helps them, and she loves that. What she doesn't like is all that other stuff, which is basically lots of detailed stuff, paperwork stuff, junk like that, and then maybe some perceived, well, I'm not getting much support from the parents. Am I getting that right?
That's right. Meetings that aren't about her, they're about all the other staff, and
Much of that, in your opinion,
corporate training and stuff?
Right, but let me ask you this: how much of that, in your opinion, because you're closer to objectivity than she is? How much of that is just part of the deal? It's the price of admission. Like sometimes you got to do some things that aren't ideal in order to be able to do the stuff that you really really love. Sometimes there's some menial things that aren't so much fun that come with the territory. It's the price of admission.
Yes.
Yes. What?
That is. I would. Well, let me put it this way. I would have a year ago. I would have said to my wife, you know, maybe you're just complaining a little bit. But I think she really just. Maybe there's something better.
I think there is.
With a little bit less of that, or...
Well, let me tell you what it is. Let me tell you what it is.
It's not worth it to put up with all that for her.
No, it's not, but I was trying to understand, because sometimes we have to change our perspective in order to fulfill our purpose. So,
okay.
I get it. You answered my question. You think that this is legit. Okay. It's soul-sucking work. That's what you're saying. You're saying, Ken,
yeah,
she's not griping. It's legitimately soul-sucking. So I get that. So now we move on to, she's doing the right thing in the wrong place. That's her situation. Yeah. She loves the instruction. She loves the interaction with the kids. she loves the result of the instruction, correct?
Correct.
So where can she do that and have less of that other junk going on?
First thing that comes to mind is private tutoring.
That's exactly right. She doesn't want to go into the classroom during the day. She likes the online thing, I'm guessing, because of the flexibility?
That's right.
Well, do you think she can make $53,000 right out of the gate in tutoring? I don't.
I don't think so.
But that's okay.
I have another concern with that, though.
Okay, go ahead.
She likes working with the most struggling, the most underprivileged kids that are there. And I don't know, but I suspect that that wouldn't be the private tutoring market.
Well, it's not. Those underprivileged kids are coming from poverty level incomes, and so they don't have that. That is a discretionary income item, you know what I mean? And they don't have discretionary income. So now she's looking at having to, if she wants to serve those groups, those underserved kids, the kids that don't have a lot of support at home, which, by the way, I think she's a stinking hero for that. That's amazing. I mean, your wife is a rock star, but she's going to have to go where they are. And so she's either going to have to bite her lip and deal with some of those frustrations that allow her to do that, serve that group she most wants to serve, or she goes in a different location, and that's going to be your public school environment. You know, it's going to be some type of federally, well, it might be federal, but it's mostly a state and local subsidized type program where maybe those tutoring services are available. There might be a nonprofit situation that helps there. She'd have to look into that. But again, she has to get real and say, I want to help kids who have reading problems. Is that her ultimate thing? Or is it just, I want to teach young people? They don't have to have a reading problem or not. Do I want to specialize or not? At some point, you and she need to just go to dinner. And this is a no distraction dinner, a very nice dinner. And you're nothing but supportive. And you just ask her lots of questions like I'm asking. Because if I were sitting here with her, I'd go, is it just helping young people? Is it that you always want to be the reading specialist? Because that's your jam. That's your thing. You know, there's a why attached to that. And so you need to help her discover her why. And when she discovers the why, it's going to make it a little bit easier to determine the where, right? We know the who. We know it's young. We know it's children. Is it children with reading disabilities? Is it children with some processing disorder? I mean, you understand where I'm going with this. And it's just freeing. Don't talk about it in terms of a job right now. Just go, hey, babe, who is it that you really want to serve? And the way I do it is if I could give her $53,000 right now, tomorrow, where would she go? That's a fun question because it takes all limitations off and allows her brain to shut down and her heart goes, oh, well, if I was guaranteed $53,000, I'd be over here and I would be doing this. Yeah. So just really relaxed, no pressure, have that kind of conversation with her. I think you're going to find a lot of clarity is going to come to both of you pretty quick. You're smart people. This is just a function of going into the heart and going deeper and deeper and deeper. Go three or four levels deeper into that why. And then we get massive clarity, which leads to massive confirmation. That's what happens. Don't go anywhere. More of your calls right here on the Ken Coleman Show. If you're considering a career in technology, I recommend Bethel Tech, and I'm not alone. Brendan said, before Bethel Tech, I was driving Uber. Within 4 months of graduating, I got a job paying $60,000. About 2 years after that, I got a remote job that pays $130,000, all thanks to what I learned at Bethel Tech. This is what I want for you folks. Get started today at BethelTech.net and get $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. That's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. Welcome back, America, to a conversation about you, what you were created to do. Let's figure it out and then come up with a plan to make the dream job a reality. It's very much alive. The dream is still very much alive. But I am here to tell you that fear and doubt and pride are the three ugly, nasty, devious enemies and they're trying to hold you back, and I'm going to shine the light on those nasty creatures, and they will scurry to the corner of the room, I promise. You have the answers to what the dream is. I can help you with a plan to get there, I promise. But you just have to believe. And if you don't have a lot of belief, borrow some of mine. It's free, no interest. You do not have to pay it back. So essentially, I'm not letting you borrow anything. I got to stop saying borrow. I'm just going to give you my belief. What are we talking about? It's a gift. 844-747-2577. All right, let's go to Nashua, New Hampshire, where Bill is on the line. Bill, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, yep. Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
So let me give you a little background of a couple of things that transpired. So as of last July, I had my hip replaced. Then I got laid off in November from an IT sales job. And then January, so I went skiing to test my hip, and I got in a major ski accident, shattered my knee, and broke my wrist in a couple places.
My gosh.
So it kind of ruined my financial piece, university. we're facilitators of the financial piece.
Yeah, thank you.
So now I've actually gone so far, I've actually rehabbed back where I can walk and, you know, got a slight limp. But I'm back. I'm trying to really focus on, I was thinking, because I did IT sales and I'm really tired of sales as a whole. But my previous background before that was IT technical roles. So I kind of was thinking maybe to get more technically certified and then perhaps get into like a lower level role and then work my way up but that's really not my passion. My sisters and everybody who talks to me says that I need to get involved with, you know, Campus Crusade or InterVarsity and start doing that. So I actually did start pursuing that. And the whole problem there is, you know, you can imagine the medical bills are crazy at this juncture.
Yeah.
But so I'm kind of a little torn.
Yeah, well, let's not be torn, because I think I got some thoughts on this, but let's get a few things clear. How much money do you need to make? If I needed to just snap my fingers and give you a J-O-B today making X amount of dollars just to stabilize you because you blew through your emergency fund, I guess. Is that right? With being laid off plus all the medical.
Oh, the emergency fund was gone long ago.
Okay. So, you know Dave's baby steps. You teach financial peace, so I don't need to tell you anything there. So, how much money do you need to make to stabilize yourself?
I would think at a minimum of 50.
Okay, great. So we got that number there. And what is your passion? I know what your sisters told you, but forget Campus Crusade as the specific place. I want to know what's the work that they told you. Do you agree with them? And then how would you describe it? What is the work that if I gave you 50 grand tomorrow guaranteed and you get to pick what you're doing, what would you do?
I probably would pursue something with, you know, teaching, training, you know, something having to do with Christ for, you know, college groups or something along those lines. So that probably, you know, my sisters basically have said that because they know that's my passion. And that's what I do in my time when they're not paying me any money to do
right.
it, I'll do it.
Yeah, so. The point is would you want to teach on the college level, teach theology, philosophy, or is it straight Bible teaching? You need to be more specific so that, let's name it right now so we can figure out how to get there.
So I would like to help develop kids in their faith and bring kids to Christ. Answer questions that they have in life as a whole, kind of, you know.
Okay.
Help them get through.
Okay, so what are the ways you would do that? Tell me what you would, let's be real specific. I don't want to answer the question for you. I want you to get your brain rocking right now. What position would allow you to do that? Or positions, there's multiple ways to do that. What are the positions that intrigue you the most that allow you to do that?
Well, so I was thinking like there would be something like a campus minister or something like that. Is really what I was thinking.
Is that because of the college age? Is the kind of the that's the juice, that age group, not high school?
Well, actually, the interesting thing is a lot of stuff that I do right now is with junior high and high school kids,
right?
Be it coaching or, you know, Sunday school stuff. That's always the age group.
Okay.
The only reason I picked college was because their thought process is a little more intense.
No, I get it. Okay, so let's focus on what we got to do. So there's two ways to go at this in my mind. Number one, you have to do some research and find out, does a campus, and I know the answer, the Campus Crusade position, you alluded to this, isn't going to pay you $50,000. A lot of those positions are self-supported, meaning that you got to go out and raise your own donations to pay your salary. That's a tough, tough road, and you're dealing with a rebuild phase right now, and the good news is you know how to rebuild because you're a Dave Ramsey guy and you understand FPU. So, I think that that needs to be a volunteer or a very low-dollar passion play right now. And I think you look first, am I qualified to teach at a Christian school, maybe? You know, if you got the college degree, is there a private Christian school in your area where, you could get on there and you're kind of getting into that area? The other question is, is there a church or churches in the area that need a youth pastor /... You know, where you could do it all, you know, if it's a smaller church, middle school, high school, you know, you have to do the homework and go, what are all the multiple ways I can just get in and love on kids and teach them about the Bible? And there's lots of ways to do that. I just mentioned two. And maybe, so that's one way to get at it. The other way to get at it is you go get a decent, solid job in a place where, you know, you're not miserable. It's good culture, and it's an IT job or maybe a sales job, and let's get that income flowing again, and let's build back up. Now, while you're doing that, Bill, you are also volunteering or part-time hours, part-time pay in that space where you ultimately want to be. And then as we stabilize financially, then we begin investing some of the money after we get that emergency fund back up. And now we start going, okay, now I'm going to start funding my future, and maybe I go get some additional training or qualifications so that I can, teach, or maybe you stay in that role that you really enjoy, IT, and then, you know, you do the Campus Crusade stuff part-time, and it's a part-time passion. You still love it, but you're very fulfilled. So those are two paths that you have to look at. But again, regardless of the path that you choose, it's always going to come down to, what do I need to do to get qualified so that people say, hey, he's a great candidate, we'd like to have him. How much is that going to cost me in time and money? And then how long is that going to take based on reality? And you've got a financial problem that you've got to get stable first. So sometimes you got to press pause on the pursuit of the dream just so that we can stay in the game. And this is a key point, not just for Bill, but for a lot of you. You go, Ken, I can't pursue the dream because I'm in debt. Not true. Just by getting out of debt and stabilizing yourself financially, you are actually making steps toward the dream. Don't separate the two. You got to be able to stay on the path. And so preparing yourself for the path is pursuing the dream. You can pay off debt, by the way, and pursue the dream and do little things. Are they big, giant steps? Not very often. Not when you're paying debt off and trying to get stable financially, but you can take some small, small steps. So Dave Ramsey's baby steps and Ken Coleman's stages of realizing the dream, they work fine together. But sometimes we can get a plan, know what the plan is, but still have to press pause so that we can fund the plan.
844-747-2577 is the number. Don't go anywhere. More of your calls. This is the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here with you. When it comes to looking for a job, most people would probably agree that the whole experience is not fun. But it doesn't have to be this way. ZipRecruiter gets it. In fact, they've actually figured out ways to make the job search process better and easier. And candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. It's absolutely free. Put ZipRecruiter to work for you. Showing you the way to work that matters so deeply to you, you'll just sit at the end of the day and say, wow, I can't believe I get to do this. You know, I paint that picture on purpose because I want some of you to go, good grief, that sounds really great. Or some of you are going, my word, I just don't know if that's possible. I haven't said that ever in my life. So there's a little mental painting for you, and it's not a pipe dream. So I don't care how many cynical, nasty people you have around you go, that's just not possible. You're just a working stiff. You're just pounding it out every week, 40 hours a week. Just, hey, get the toys for the weekend. Drink a lot, you know? Yeah, you know, if you drink enough on Friday night, you'll forget the last 5 days. I mean, this is what essentially a lot of people do. I'm not judging anybody. Okay, we're not here to judge. I'm just simply saying, if that's the recipe you want, well, wrong show. But if you want to get to the end of your life and reminisce and not regret, then you have found the show for you. 844-747-2577 to Milwaukee, Wisconsin we go. Chris is on the line. Chris, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, thanks so much for having me on.
Happy to. How can I help?
So you are definitely the expert in the topic I want to talk to you about. I have a video blog that I've started as kind of a hobby with full intentions of it going to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, potentially a podcast, speaking to large groups, radio shows, stuff. You know, I want to be you.
Okay.
So I've started a blog, I've started a website, YouTube channel. I have a topic that's, you know, this is my niche topic. I guess, what's my next step to get my blog out there so people can hear it, people can see it, and I can get it to the next step and potentially get bigger with this?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's live, so it's out there, okay? So your question is not, how do I get it out there? The question is, how do I grow my audience? Isn't that what you're asking?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's no silver bullet, 1, 2, 3, as far as guaranteeing that you're going to grow. But I'll tell you what will guarantee that there's a chance for you to really grow, and that's staying with it. So this is going to be consistency. You know, I was talking to somebody today. It takes about 6 years for the average YouTuber to really gain some momentum. 6 years of just posting videos many times daily. Most of them are certainly putting out 1 to 2 videos per week. There's a consistency. We know this from the algorithms of YouTube that you've got to put content out. So there's something to take away from that. So there's a million people out on the internet telling you do these 5 steps, you're guaranteed to grow your audience. I'm not willing to say that, because I think that's a little bit of snake oil sales there. And what I will tell you is that the chance to grow it, the chance to make it, only comes when you show up day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. That's the gospel truth. Now, a couple of tips. One of the things that I love to tell content providers that I think is the key to success is to produce content that moves you, that entertains you, that convicts you, that matters to you. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that?
Absolutely, I do. Okay. Absolutely. And that's my whole thing, is this is from the heart. I mean, I've lived my 9 lives, and I'm trying to take my experiences, look in my rear view, and help people move forward with their own lives. And
all right, well, good. So the only other practical tip that I'm going to give you is that you have got to put your stuff in front of other people and be okay with, you know, people saying, no, not interested. So what I mean by that is Facebook advertising. If you got a message and you got a core audience that you've drummed up in your head, you gotta really own that audience and be committed to that audience and to the message. And so Facebook ads for people who are searching certain items, you gotta have an SEO strategy, that search engine optimization. Go out there and find what your audience or your desired audience, what are they searching for? What are they buying? What are their felt needs? You got to become an expert on the person that you're trying to help.
And if you do that, you got a much better chance of succeeding. But see, this isn't just showing up. We're going to show up on purpose. And so those things right there, that's about as good of advice as I can give. That's quality stuff right there. And that's going to, again, get you to the dance. Now, I am never going to guarantee Joe a dancing partner. You know, it's a tricky thing putting content out there. But you're going to always have a chance if you're consistent and you're convicted. You know who you want to help, why you want to help them, and how you want to help them. That's the advice. And if you have that going on, you got a shot. 844-747-2577. Let's go back to the phones. Denise is on the line in Waltham, Massachusetts. Denise, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
Okay, so I'm currently in a position, and I'm a little bit, I feel like I'm a little bit bored in it. It's not challenging enough for me. I recently made this change to this industry because it's more in line with what I want to do, what I want to head towards. And so I've only been here for a year, so now I'm trying to figure out, am I just bored? Should I stick it out and find more ways to invest in the organization, or should I start looking elsewhere to be more in line with what I want to end with?
Yeah, I think it comes down to, does this current company give you a better ladder upward where you want to go versus something else in the marketplace? So to me, you're definitely bored, and boredom is one of the five causes of buildup on the heart. Okay, I've talked about this on the show. So I don't believe in burnout, Denise. I think it's a made-up thing because you're only burned out the day you die. That's when the flame is gone. So if you aren't passionate about the work, there's no connection, so no intrinsic value to your heart with the work that you do, or you're in a toxic environment, very unhealthy with leadership or teamwork, that's number two. Number three is you're overwhelmed, so you just get too much on your plate. It's like trying to drink from a fire hydrant, okay? Then underappreciated, okay? So you're not getting any rewards or recognition. And then the fifth is boredom. And so that needs to be a wake-up call for you, so I'm glad you called. But you're in a good position because you're at least in the industry you want to be in. Did I understand that correctly?
I'm industry adjacent. I'm close to it, and I could easily make a leap. So
Well, then I would look outward first.
Okay.
Unless you think that another year or 6 months, or you name the number here, gets you even more qualified and positioned to step up. But that would be the only reason you stay any longer than you have to at this current position. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you don't see any problem with me only being here for a year and then leaving for a better position?
No. Let me guess, Denise, are you in your 20s?
I just turned 30.
Okay, great. So millennials, you're a millennial. And millennials, yes, overwhelmingly are known for not thinking beyond 12 months on a job anyway. That's just the nature of your generation. They're just thinking about constant advancing, constant progress. So number one, it's not abnormal, and I just wanted to free you from that. It's not some negative quality that you have, okay, number one. Number two, you've been there a year, and if you take another gig that moves you up the ladder, that will be pointed out in future conversations on your resume anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you know, I look at it like anything. If you're progressing, you were at one position for a year, you kind of got to the point where you had maxed out there, and so you look for the next opportunity, you got it, and you show that work history, that's impressive, not negative.
Okay.
So you know where you want to go. You're different than a lot of my callers. It's just what's the best, yeah, it's just the best way to get there. And start looking. Now, Denise, I never recommend that you leave a job until you have the other one already signed up, ready to go.
Agreed, yes.
Okay. And now the exception to that, to the rest of the audience, is if you've planned financially for it, then that's fine. But we don't want you going backwards financially just because you can't be a big girl or big boy and stick it out a little longer until you got something to step into. So Denise, appreciate you. You're going to do awesome stuff. Looking outward is what your play is.
Don't go anywhere. We're going to get more clarity for more of you coming right up. This is the Ken Coleman Show.
This is where America hangs out to talk about purpose. How do I figure out what my purpose is? And then if I do figure it out, how do I make it a reality? Well, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show. That is why we're here. Taking talk radio by storm because everybody's going, what is this? Wait a second. You're not going to talk about Washington, D.C. and its impact on my dream? No. So, you know what makes this fun is like, it's come one, come all. We don't care what your political persuasion is. What we care about is what your purpose is. So, if you're looking for another show about somebody firing you up and getting you angry, this is not it. If you're looking for a show that fires you up and gets you on purpose, now you have arrived. Because this is what we do. It's all about you. You were created to fill a unique role. That means that you are needed. It also means that you must do it. So now it's not just feeling good about ourselves that we matter. It's we better get about the business of mattering. In other words, we want to do work that matters to us because we know the results are for others. 844-747-2577. If you're stuck, confused, scared, down, defeated, this show's for you. We can help you. 844-747-2577. That's the number. That's where we go to Lexington, Virginia. I know that area. Natalie's on the line. Natalie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm excited to talk to you.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you. I got to tell you, I love that neck of the woods in Virginia. That's a beautiful area.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's very beautiful.
How can I help today?
So I am on the job hunt, and I've been trying to reach out to some contacts that I have in the field that I work in, and it's not going very well. I've been trying to reach out to people and asking them without just bluntly saying, will you help me find a job, trying to ask them if they can like suggest certain positions that would help me get closer to the area that I want to work in and such, but then it just kind of drops, and they don't. And it didn't go anywhere. So I kind of have two questions about this. Is it okay to just be like, do you have any jobs or do you know anybody that's hiring?
Yes.
Even if it's not in the area that I want to be in, I just need a new job. I haven't wanted to be too forward, but then when they don't have any recommendations, then I'm like, well, okay, but just anything else would work. So I didn't know if that's too forward. And then I have another side question about somebody specific that I want to reach out to, but I haven't talked to this person in months, and I only met him once, and I just didn't know, and I don't think I left a really good impression, so I don't know if I should reach out to him or if the boat has kind of sailed on that.
Interesting. Well, why? I want to know why you've singled this guy out. What's the reason? There's something on the other end of that conversation that's got you thinking. What is it?
He works in the area doing what I want to be doing.
Great.
He's from the same state that I'm from, so mm-hmm. we connected on that.
Mm-hmm.
He went to a rival school for sports, and mm-hmm. so we just had a really good conversation. He works now in the state that I now live in, mm-hmm. Virginia, and he just seemed... He was very personable and seemed like someone who would be willing to help me in the area.
So what happened? What was the bad taste? What happened?
Well, we met at a conference, a work conference, and before one of the evening functions, he had asked me if I wanted to go to a happy hour with some other people at the conference, and I said yes, but I was super tired, and it was the last night, and I ended up going back to the hotel to get the colleague that I was rooming with to go with me. But then we ended up not going at all, and I didn't have a way to contact him, so I just didn't show up.
Oh.
And then I didn't talk to him the rest of the time, and I still haven't talked to him, and I just feel bad that I didn't show up when I said I was going to.
Oh, well, this is easy. This is so easy. This is so easy.
Okay.
This is so easy. Okay, so first of all, he's doing what you want to do, which is what?
Exhibit design.
Okay, great.
In museums.
Great. So have you heard me talk about the proximity principle?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This is the proximity principle. You got to put yourself around people that are doing what you want to do and in places where what you want to do is happening. He's that. You have a good...
He is that.
He is. Now, listen. He probably... I don't know if he was flirting with you or not. It really doesn't matter. It's inconsequential to this.
But let's just say, because I'm reading between the lines, whether he's flirting with you or not, he asked you to join him for happy hour. You said yes, and you blew him off. That's what he thinks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you didn't blow him off.
I didn't mean to, no.
No, now listen, Not only did you not blow him off, you have a legitimate reason as to why that all went down. Mm-hmm. And you could have reached out to him, but then you felt embarrassed. So I think it would be awesome if he got an email from you or a text from you, and you basically said that. And just say, I am so embarrassed. I did not mean to blow you off. But here's why I didn't come. And then I didn't have a way to get in touch with you. And then I felt so bad about it. I just hope that you're not mad at me, because I actually want to connect with you. And just see what happens. I'm telling you right now, the guy's going to fire a text back and be like, don't worry about it. Yeah, when do you want to connect? So that's the answer to that question. Now, the first question is just, you're too timid. You're just too worried about, you know, asking somebody to make a connection. Yeah. I don't think you say to them, hey, do you have a job for me? That would be weird, but that's not what you asked. Yeah. You just said, can I ask if they are aware of openings that I would be interested in? The answer is yes. That's the proximity principle. So certainly your web of connections, you need to be doing that with aggressively. Now, that doesn't mean you are aggressive in your manner, and I don't think you got that in you, Natalie. You sound as sweet as pie. I mean, my gosh. So I don't think you could come across obnoxious if you tried. That would be my take. However, all you got to do is you go to people that you know that are acquaintances. These are people that you don't do life with. This guy is an acquaintance that we're talking about. He's an acquaintance. He's not a close friend, but your close friends and family, you're saying to them, hey, I'm looking to do exhibit design, and I've identified these companies because they do this. So see, that's the other thing. You've been kind of going at it with kind of a shotgun approach.
Yeah.
I want you going after it with a bow and arrow approach, right? Think of the precision that it takes to shoot a bow and arrow and hit a target versus a shotgun.
Okay.
Shotgun, you point in the general direction and just hope it hits it. You gotta aim, you gotta be super specific. So here's my point. Why don't you identify some companies that actually hire people that do what you do? And then you say, hey, do you all know anybody over at company XYZ? No, I don't, but my best friend does. Oh, really? Yeah. Hey, would you connect me with your best friend? Because I'd like to meet and have coffee with her and see if she'd be willing to recommend me to the hiring manager for this one position. Jeez, that's how it works.
Okay.
You got to get more specific.
Okay. I think that's what I'm missing, because, like, I try to go on ZipRecruiter and Indeed, but I'm just like, this isn't going to work because I don't know anybody there.
That's right.
So then I flip to just saying, hey, do you know of anything? But if I, like, have specific jobs in mind, and then I ask
specific jobs and specific companies, so that you could say, do you know anybody at that company? Because here's the deal. You know this, Natalie. Resumes are worthless without a relationship.
Yeah.
And then again, my book, The Proximity Principle, is written for somebody like you. Have you bought the book? If you haven't, I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, I haven't.
All right. I'm going to give it to you because I wrote it for you.
But I love your resources. They've helped me.
So listen, this book is written for you. It unpacks the principle. It tells you the five people in the five places, and then the practices that you need to actually do. So this is a practical guide. I'm going to walk you to opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, okay? So hang on the line. That is my gift to you. It's going to help you so much. And once you get in that spot, I want you to call back. Or I want you to go online and tell people that the proximity principle works. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.